Hello, welcome to the CHS podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the Super Bowl, this upcoming Super Bowl this Sunday, and we're just going to be talking about like odds and just general discussion over the Super Bowl. We brought Jax back again from last semester. He's going to be kind of one of our main talkers this episode.
First off, good to be back. I like talking to the mic. I like talking to you people, and especially about something that I'm so passionate about. I love football, man. I just really like it.
We also got Logan. This is his first time on the mic. What's up, Logan?
What's up? I'm excited. I'm ready to talk about some football today.
Okay. Jax, you want to take it away?
Sure, why not? I'll start us off. So, to open up, we got, obviously, the Super Bowl. Most of you know the two teams. If you're not aware, it's the Philadelphia Eagles and your hometown Kansas City Chiefs. And kind of just to jump right into it, we had these podcast guys got a poll sent out to some students in the school.
We did.
Had 90 total responses, and out of those responses, we have four categories, or four questions that we asked, and out of the 90 total responses, 84.6% of all the total responses said they're going to watch the game.
I'm not really surprised by that. I figured most people were going to watch the game.
Yeah, it's a pretty high total, but at the end of the day, the vast majority of people are just going to have it on in their background or doing something.
Yeah,
at least.
Whether or not everybody's watching the Super Bowl. Really watch it. Most people are going to have it at least on.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's going to glance at the TV every now and then and be like, oh, man, score changed.
I'd say at the end of the day, all people care about is the score.
Yeah, so. Just really kind of about the score. But yeah. Moving on, we got 74.7% prefer the game over commercials.
That's a lot higher than I expected, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, for sure.
It seems it's more of like, 50-50 with commercials and game. A lot of people who don't prefer the teams just care about the commercials, it seems like, so.
Yeah. Have there been any good commercials in the past couple of years?
Yeah, past couple of years, no. The last good one I remember that really stuck with me was Puppy Monkey Baby.
Everyone.
The Mountain Dew commercial.
It was a beautiful commercial. Also, we brought up the other day the Doritos commercial, where the baby followed the Dorito.
Oh, yeah. Dorito.
See, that was a solid one, too. That one we got was got remembered.
The only, recent one that I actually remember is when they did the Rick and Morty Pringles commercial. That's the only one I remember. I don't remember which Super Bowl that was. But, yeah, it exists.
Yeah, and my personal favorite commercial, I would have to say, is the Puppy Monkey Baby, like Logan said.
Yeah. Probably. That's probably the only one that really
sticks. Super Bowl,
sticks.
One of the...
I believe it was Super Bowl one of the best ones. 48, I believe.
Either or that Super or 49, 49. One of those two.
When that one came out. There has been rumor, I guess, and I've seen the video, I guess, of a Breaking Bad commercial this year. And I don't remember the company that's doing it, but I suppose there's a Breaking Bad commercial.
Wait, no, because there was that company that just recently came out with all the Breaking Bad commercials within the past couple weeks. I don't remember what. It was popcorners or whatever.
Yeah, it was popcorn or some peanuts or something. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, I heard there's a Breaking Bad commercial that's going to be aired during the Super Bowl, and they gave us a little glimpse of it.
Kind of exciting. Oh, actually, that does peanuts. That does remind me. Didn't the peanut guy with the peanut man or whatever his name.
Oh,
didn't he die during the Super Bowl?
He died in the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah. I do remember that. R.I.P. R.I.P.
And then he came back as a baby.
Mr. Peanut. Yeah.
He came back as a little baby peanut.
Yeah. We can't just forget about that. An icon. A true icon died that day.
Throughout the history of the Super Bowl, there's been some fantastic commercials. It's just, the price of airing a 30-second commercial just goes up by the millions every single year.
They're so expensive.
It's absolutely
companies
absurd.
Are just losing out. They're like,
we're making less
money. I'm not going to give you $23 million to air a 15-second commercial ad.
It's insane, the prices. At a point, I feel like they're just going to stop being commercials. It's
just
going to be stock photos.
Just going to be, stock photos that they stole from Google.
Something, man. Something cheaper, because ain't nobody want to buy it. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
If I saw a stock photo, if they just did the stock photos, I would not buy it.
Just
or whatever they're trying to do.
A slideshow of stock photos, that'd be hilarious, I think.
Yeah. Going back to the poll, 75, okay, hold on, before I say the number, unsurprisingly, 75.8% of all responses want the Chiefs to win.
Obviously.
Because we're a hometown Kansas school, small town, everyone's hometown Kansas, Kansas City Chiefs, got to go with them. I'm just going to say it. I said it last semester, if any of you guys listened to those podcasts. Not a whole lot of people in this school could name you the QB before Alex Smith for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It was Matt Cassel, for any of you who don't know. But, there's just a lot of people in this school that are just jumping right on the bandwagon, and they don't care. they're perfectly fine with it.
Well, it's almost more loud, isn't it? Because they are a home team at the end of the day, so it's a little bit more loud. But I do believe a lot of people are just hopping on the bandwagon. But it's easy. It's easy.
It's easy to do. It's kind of annoying to listen to, but I mean, same time, just support them, I guess. You
know? They are starting a dynasty. I mean,
they have started a dynasty.
Which, I mean, nobody really enjoys in sports if you watch them. Nobody likes dynasties. The Patriots dynasty was
nothing ruins sports more than dynasties.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. We can all see that with the Patriots dynasty and good old Tommy Boy winning.
Growing up on that Pats dynasty, dude.
Yeah.
I got to witness, like, very few different winners out of the AFC.
It was the majority
of the Ravens. Patriots. The Ravens won it. The Broncos.
I almost want to say that's it.
Yeah, I almost want to say that's all that we've had out of them. I got to see the Pittsburgh. I got to see Pittsburgh make it. But outside of that, I don't know if there's much else. And that was annoying. And then you flip around now, and you got the Kansas City Chiefs going to 5 straight AFC Championship games. Mm-hmm. Granted, they've only won 2 of them. This will be their 5th appearance. But that's getting a little repetitive and a little old. And especially with the rise of the Cincinnati Bengals out of seemingly nowhere with Joe Burrow, that's also going to get a little repetitive pretty quick.
I will say I do enjoy watching a little bit of Joe Breezy back there.
Can't go wrong with a little bit of Joey B, man.
I mean, he's so calm in situations where he definitely shouldn't be.
One word to describe him, swagger.
Swagger, yeah.
That's a good word. Is Joey B.
That is a solid word to describe Joe Burrow.
Jumping to the next one, the final question on the poll that a lot of people answered. This is the most surprising one to me. 58.2% out of all 90 total responses think that wings are the best Super Bowl food to have.
You know, I completely disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not on board. We were all kind of talking about whether or not wings even count as like a snack or if it's a meal. I think what Logan we had discussed today was like depends on the amount of people and the amount of wings, like if it's a snack or meal.
Even then, can you call it a snack? Can you call it a meal? It's not the best of either side.
Yeah, it is so messy. Like, what's the worth? What happens when you eat one of those wings? You go to grab the remote to flip it off, to turn down the volume, and your remote's got wings all up on it.
Or you got someone over there, you know, the weirdos picking their nose in the corner, eating their wings with a fork. I mean, no one does that.
You got to be a different kind of crazy.
But, like, wings aren't better than pizza. They're not better than mac and cheese. They're not better than, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs.
Cheese dip, okay.
They're not better than cheese dip. Cheese dip is good. Mm-hmm. But that's a snack. And you just proved that it's not better than any snack either.
Yeah.
Like, wings aren't better than Chex Mix. They're not better than cheese dip. They're not better than nachos. They're not better than any of that. So
I think if you want a wing, you gotta work for the wing. And some people don't want to work for a wing on a Sunday watching the Super Bowl, you know?
It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not trying to get my hands all messed up.
Yeah, and what are you going to do with the bones? You got to throw them away immediately?
Yeah.
Because you got to have a trash can on standby if there's a big group of people and you're eating them like a snack.
I mean, there are boneless wings, but then that kind of like, it's kind of basically.
Well, even then, now you're talking, you're paying, you know, $5 more dollars for boneless wings.
And you also have to worry about the heat. If you do not eat a wing while it's hot, it is no longer good. If you eat a cold wing, it is gross.
It's like cold turkey, you know? It just gets stuck in your teeth and you just get irritated. Cold wings are crazy.
Yeah. So, like, well, how are you going to keep it warm at all constants if you are eating it? It has to be eaten as a meal in one portion right there.
Overall, unanimous decision, cannot stand wings. Just... I don't like wings as a top Super Bowl food.
What is everybody's favorite?
I like wings, but I don't think they should not be the top Super Bowl food.
Yeah. What is everybody's favorite Super Bowl food? Lane, what would you say yours is?
My favorite? I don't know about my favorite, but I like my family always makes jalapeno poppers. I like jalapeno poppers.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty solid.
What do you say there?
In my history with the Super Bowl, there's been a couple Super Bowls where it's been warm out, a couple where this one is probably going to be right in the middle, probably a little bit colder. And throughout my family's history, we've always gone to the original, the hot dogs and the hamburgers.
Yeah.
And one thing that I tried when it was cold out, I think it was the Super Bowl where it was the Patriots and Rams. We tried hot chocolate, and I've never looked back since. Hot chocolate has been my number one thing that I like to enjoy during the Super Bowl.
Really?
And you mix hot chocolate in with a little bit of jalapeno poppers or maybe a hot dog or two.
That sounds like a terrible combo. I'm sorry.
It doesn't sound like it would work, but I think it almost could.
I'm going to be honest with you.
It's just something that I tried one time, and I've never looked back.
Childhood nostalgia.
It doesn't sound like it would work, but honestly, like, I think that could work.
Yeah, me personally, I'm going to go with a cheese dip and a nice grape soda on my side.
Oh, grape soda?
Yo, grape soda, baby.
Grape soda is underrated.
I love grape soda. You can't go wrong with a nice, crisp grape soda.
Grape soda is very underrated. It's probably, I mean, outside of a mug root beer and Dr. Pepper, grape soda is right there. Yep. It's in my top five. It's so underrated.
It's so crisp. Cool.
Overlooked.
It's so refreshing. It's beautiful.
It's not expensive. I mean, it tastes fantastic. I mean, you could combine grape soda with almost anything. Like, can you pair a grape soda with a hot dog? Of course you can. It's a midsummer day, you know? Your dad flips on the grill, starts making some hot dogs. Get some grape soda with that thing.
It's definitely one of those summer drinks. I would associate grape soda with summer.
Can you go crazy with a little bit of Sprite in a hot dog? Sure. But I mean, I'm not
looking. It's boring. It's basic.
I'm not looking at Sprite like I'm looking at a grape soda and a hot dog, you know?
Yeah. I do fully agree. And cheese dip is unbeatable, I think. It's a great snack that stays warm because it's normally in a crock pot of some sort. It stays warm. It's always there. It's always there to give you a hug when you're nice and get a little peckish.
Especially when you throw some ground beef in there.
Oh Lord. Yeah. Mm. That's.
Do you prefer chips and cheese dip over chips and salsa?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt in my mind.
I do too.
I love cheese.
I'm allergic to salsa, so I'm going to have to go with cheese as well.
Yeah. poor guy.
You know, I think that's a good reason.
Oh, yeah. All right. Enough about the food.
Yeah, let's move on to the game.
Let's get to the actual game here.
Alrighty.
All right. So, first off, we're going to open up with, of course, it's the Eagles and Chiefs again. And the favorites of the game per Vegas. Vegas, you know, predicts the spread of the amount of points that one team is going to win by. And the prediction for this year's Super Bowl is Vegas thinks that Philadelphia is going to win. They are opened up as 1.5-point favorites. They were 2.5-point favorites last week. But it closed in recently with, I think it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire was deemed available for the game. I don't know if he's going to suit up because he kind of lost his spot to rookie Isaiah Pacheco and out of nowhere stud Jerick McKinnon. But, I mean, I like that odd. I mean, Philly is obviously a favorite here. They went 14-3 or something like that. And the only reason that they lost three games and not one was because Jalen Hurts took that late hit to the shoulder and missed two of the last three games of the year. And they lost to Dallas and New Orleans before Jalen Hurts came back and beat the Giants in the season ender. So,
yeah.
Overall, I like the line.
I like to keep it. It's still pretty close, you know. Mm-hmm. Not too high of a deficit.
One thing I've learned is you can never count out Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of people are going to like to hear me say this. You can never count him out of this at all because – no matter what you do, you can doubt him as much as you want. He's going to find a way to win. And if he doesn't, he's going to go out firing. Right?
Has he fully recovered from his ankle injury yet?
He looked iffy against the Bengals for sure. There was a couple times where he tried to make a throw on the run. Throw was a little wobbly, sailed, missed it. There was one throw that should have been intercepted over the middle, and that was because he couldn't put any sort of pressure on his back foot because he just took a big hit. And that's a big concern point for Kansas City right now because some people don't know this, but Philadelphia, their defensive side of the ball for them is outrageous. They're so good at the game. They're top five in like every category. They have the record this year, I believe. They have like the most sacks since I think it was like 1998 for a defense, and really? They have upwards of like 65 sacks. That's absurd.
The Chiefs' O-line, is it a – I know for the past years it hasn't been too hot. Is it – how are we looking this year, especially with a great D-line with the Eagles?
So, the Kansas City's offensive line is a little wobbly in some areas, but I would say their interior three is kind of their pride and joy. They have a center, Creed Humphrey, who in my opinion is second to Jason Kelce on the Eagles, coincidentally, but – Creed Humphrey he's just a rookie that they took a chance on, and he's been a stud, absolute stud. He's top two in every category. If he's not right below Jason Kelce, he's above him. And next to him on the right side is Trey Smith, I believe is his name. And Trey Smith is an absolute beast. That guy is just a one-man wrecking crew. And to the left of Creed Humphrey is Joe Thuney. And Joe Thuney is he's a trade from the Patriots. He was on the Patriots when they won those Super Bowls. And he was a fantastic grab for the Chiefs. He's been outstanding every category. I mean, just like Creed Humphrey. I mean, if he's not one, he's two. And outside of that, they have two wobbly tackles. They made a big trade, a big splash for their left tackle, Orlando Brown is his name. And they got him from the Ravens in exchange for a second round pick and a first round pick and I think a player. And he's been shaky, to say the least. He's a big guy. He's huge. But that's kind of his downfall, is whenever he gets matched up with a speedy rusher. Like, I'm going to shout out my Cowboys real quick, like Micah Parsons when they played last year. Micah Parsons ate his lunch every play because Micah was just that much faster. And that's going to be a problem. And on the other side of the line, there's a guy that not a whole lot of people have heard of, Andrew Wiley. Andrew Wiley is kind of – he's very hit or miss. Against the Bengals, he was – he did – I mean, he held his ground. He did fine against some good pass rushers and Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. But, I mean, you're not playing the Cincinnati front anymore. You're playing the Philadelphia Eagles front. I mean, you're playing Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and Montez Sweat and Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick was top three in the league in sacks, just so you know. And that guy – going to the San Francisco game where Philadelphia won 31-7, that's the guy that blew straight past the best tackle in the league, Trent Williams, and delivered such a huge hit on Brock Purdy that it tore Purdy's UCL.
Jeez. It ended his game that day. It ended his end of the game. One big reason the Niners didn't have a chance against the Eagles.
That's crazy.
They didn't have a quarterback.
I don't want to say this because obviously it sounds terrible, but it honestly could end Brock Purdy's career before it really even gets going.
He could end his whole career.
Brock Purdy had to have Tommy John surgery.
Oh,
to fix it. That's really? What goes on. And
on his throwing arm.
Yeah. Mm. For those of you who don't know, Tommy John is a really common injury in baseball. It's what happens when you get a repetitive snapping motion, and right in the elbow. And once you tear your UCL and you start to have Tommy John surgery, that's something you don't really come back to, because once you get it repaired, you can't throw the same way anymore for the rest of your life. You have to change the way you throw. So,
hey, well, it is Brock Purdy. He showed out. It's Mr. Irrelevant. You never really know.
Last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. He wasn't supposed to do anything, though. So, I mean, hopefully that guy can just, you know, nut up and get back out on the field throwing just the way he was.
He's overcome some things before. I think he could do it.
Yeah, we just got to hope.
Oh, yeah.
Now, back to the Eagles. Back to the Chiefs with their shaky outside O-line. That's going to be rough. You gotta have a good exterior. You can't just have a good interior.
Yeah.
No. And especially with the left tackle being a little shaky and Pat Mahomes suffering that ankle injury, he's got to be careful in that pocket. He's got to be looking around.
One thing that the Chiefs have that the Eagles don't is the Chiefs have these two running backs, McKinnon and Pacheco.
Oh.
Pacheco is a small guy. I am bigger than Pacheco. I'm 6 foot tall, 210 pounds, right? I am bigger than Isaiah Pacheco. I think his name's Isaac. No, it's Isaiah. And I'm bigger than him, but that guy is so fast. He runs so hard, and he attacks. Like, there was a run, or it wasn't a run. It was a dump-off pass with Mahomes in the game against the Bengals. It was second and 10 or second and 14 or something. And Mahomes had nothing downfield, nowhere to throw the ball, and he just dumped it off to Pacheco, just thinking, go make something happen. There was two tacklers that, you know, came up and merged right on Pacheco as soon as he caught it. And Jermaine Pratt, who's a really good tackler, one of the best outside linebackers in the league, highly respected. And I think his name is B.J. Hill. I could be wrong on that, but he's a defensive tackle, so he's a big guy. Both Jermaine Pratt and I think B.J. Hill got their hands on Isaiah Pacheco at the same time. And Isaiah Pacheco was just moving so hard and so fast, he broke both of their tackles and picked up like 25 yards.
Solid runner.
On a negative 2-yard dump-off pass. And
that's pretty good.
That point was just such a turning point for the Chiefs. It was like, I mean, you turn something into something. You turn nothing into something big like that. Mm-hmm. That's a momentum changer right there.
And I have also seen clips of Jerick McKinnon, right?
Yeah,
he's a tough blocker. He's not a huge guy, but he's not afraid to sit in that pocket and get a block off to save Patrick Mahomes' life.
He, I mean, he will cut down some big guys if he has to. He has no problem meeting them. And if he doesn't cut them down and block them, Jerick McKinnon, I don't know if you know this, but Jerick McKinnon had the most receiving touchdowns on the Chiefs outside of Travis Kelce. He had 11.
As a running back?
As a running back, 11 receiving touchdowns. But that's because he would just slip out. I mean, slip to the flat. He'd slip, you know, slip out just a little beyond the flat.
After find somewhere to get open?
Deliver a block, slip out to the flat, and Mahomes would always find him. There was a play that I'm sure a lot of you that are listening to this, if you're a Chiefs fan, know what I'm about to say. Against the Denver Broncos, Jerick McKinnon and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes made a tremendous play. Rolling out right, it looked like nothing was happening. Jerick McKinnon went from lead blocking for Mahomes to potentially find a rollout, you know, someone to throw it to. He went from potentially blocking to slipping the block, getting behind everybody. Mahomes flipped it over his head, and it was a sideways duck pass. No one was around McKinnon, just caught it, 60 yards, gone. Touchdown. Easiest touchdown ever.
See, and those are the plays that Patrick Mahomes can produce, and that is what is scary, so scary about him.
He is, for sure.
He is unpredictable. He can throw the ball any way, anywhere, any arm angle. He can get it to you.
Oh, yeah. And, Mahomes is not the problem for Kansas City, obviously. The Kansas City's main problem is going to be, can they ever run the ball against Philadelphia? We've seen Mahomes this year. He threw the ball 67 times against the Titans. That's a lot. And that's because the Titans, they don't give up anything on the run. They don't let anything through on the ground. And the Eagles are just, they're right there with the Titans. They're so good defensively.
Yeah, and it's so hard to put a ball in the air over 50 times a game. I mean, it's all up to chance at some point when you throw the ball in the air that many times.
I mean,
so.
you can't throw 50 safe passes. You can't do that. You have to take chances.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I mean, you're probably going to lose. And with last game against the Bengals, Valdez-Scantling, one of the Chiefs' top receivers, and Juju Smith-Schuster both went down with injuries, I think, late in the game. And no one got open. They had backups in the game. It was like Marcus Kemp was in, and McKinnon had to go line up out wide. No one could get separation on anyone. And the Bengals don't have great corners. I mean, they're all right.
Eli Apple,
They're not great. Eli Apple, such a trash talker, got toasted several times. But the Chiefs need to get free. And this isn't the Bengals' corners. Like I said, with the Bengals' defensive line, this is the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's the Super Bowl.
And it's the Super Bowl. The Eagles have the two best corners in the league, in my opinion, right now, besides Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner's a rookie. He's incredible. But they have Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Those two are top in stats all over the board. And it's just absurd. They don't give up any free space at all. The only play I saw this year where Darius Slay got beat was T.Y. Hilton beat him on a 59-yard bomb. And it wasn't really even Darius Slay's fault. He's just supposed to pass the coverage along.
Yeah.
And
T.Y. Hilton is a vet.
T.Y. Hilton knows what he's doing.
He's been there for a while. So.
Darius Slay, I mean, everyone knows who Justin Jefferson is. You're a Vikings fan. Of course you know him. Darius Slay clamped Justin Jefferson down to the bone. He had two interceptions on him. And they weren't like, bad throw interception. I mean, he just went up and won that ball both times from Justin Jefferson.
And that is a tough thing to do.
That's a tough test. Justin Jefferson just won Offensive Player of the Year yesterday at the awards. And
as deserved.
To do that, as deserved, yeah. He had fantastic season. But to do that as Darius Slay, you're a lot smaller than Justin Jefferson is, and you just go out there, clamp him up, lock him down, get him out of the game. Eagles blew the Vikings out that game. And then now you add that was before they traded for James Bradbury. And now they have James Bradbury, who's so good, been so good all year. And you got to wonder, no one's going to get open on the outside for a lot of the game, because I don't see either one of those two just busting coverage every other play. It's going to fall. A lot of the weight is going to fall on Travis Kelce. And the Eagles linebackers are no joke. I mean, they got some dudes who can play. And not just that, I'm going to go back to the safety position for the Eagles. They traded for, I don't remember his exact name from the Saints, but he led the league in interceptions, and they weren't like bad throw, toss-up interceptions. They were genuinely good plays on the ball, and it's just top to bottom, the Eagles' defense is fantastic.
Especially their secondary, it sounds like it. So the problem is Travis Kelce, he is a solid tight end. He is, well, the best tight end in the league, debatably. Well, maybe even not debatably, but...
I think it's just plain and clear.
Yeah, plain and clear. But so that is a tough task for those linebackers. It doesn't matter who they are. It is Travis Kelce that they have to cover.
What do you guys think? How do you guys think the game's going to turn out then? Like, you think it's going to be a hard-fought victory, or do you think you're going to get swept?
Well, predictions-wise, the people believe that it's going to be 34-37 towards the Eagles. That is from a leaked NFL, in quotes here, script that people believe is a something going around. But
scripted. Yeah, I always laugh at people who are like, oh my gosh, the league is scripted, the NFL is scripted. No, it's not. Like, shut up. Yes, I'm sure there's no doubt the league has swaying, you know, in terms on the outcome of games, but they're not scripting a Super Bowl to end 34-37, right? That's not going to happen. And because of that, I'm going to say I think the Eagles win comfortably. I think there's 6 dead minutes at the end of the game. I think the Eagles just run the ball like crazy, and I don't think Kansas City does anything to stop it.
I think 6 whole dead minutes is crazy.
That's an insanity.
Even I know it's insanity to say, especially with Patrick Mahomes on the other side. But, I mean, the Eagles top to bottom are just – they're such a better team. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is better in 2 aspects. That's it. That's all they've got on Philly. They don't even have a better special teams than Philly. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. And actually, we did see against the Bucks in the Super Bowl, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yep.
We saw what happened to the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes had no time in the pocket.
I mean, Mahomes scrambled for his life. I mean, he made plays happen. And
but if they can't run the ball and they're only throwing it and he's scrambling out that often, mm-hmm. you can't make... A 100 great plays.
You mix that in with good coverage, and there was 2 dropped balls that one of them should have been a touchdown. But, I mean, even then, you got, like, this Eagles defense is just as good, if not better, than that Tampa Bay defense was. I don't know if the Chiefs' O-line is going to hold up at all.
So then what do you think the score's going to end up being? You said they're going to win comfortably. So what are you thinking?
I mean, Philly has won. They won their first playoff game against the Giants, 38-7, and then they flipped around. They beat the best defense in the league. They just beat them down 31-7, and I find it hard to see Philly not scoring 30-plus points on this Chiefs defense. I find it hard.
I mean, and let's keep it in mind, the Eagles have let up 14 points in the playoffs to 2 playoff teams, obviously, 2 great teams that made it there. And the Chiefs have given up 40 to playoff teams.
Chiefs gave up 20 to both Jacksonville and Cincinnati.
So, that's awful. Big differential with their defense there.
And it's not like I'm going to say this a little bit. It's going to sound like I'm hating on the Chiefs, but it's not like the Chiefs locked down Cincinnati in that game. They're like, everyone knows Cincinnati has a great offense. I mean, they put up points like crazy all the time. But that game was like, it felt like -8 at that game. Like, no one's going to be flying around wanting to go jump up and win a 50-50 ball in that condition, right? And, giving up 20 points to the Jags, I mean, I get it. They had a good run. They came back from down 27-0 against the Chargers, but...
But they are still a young and very rough team. They're still a very young,
inexperienced, rough. I mean, they have no... They're not sharp on their around the edges. I'm not particularly impressed with Kansas City's Super Bowl run, but... Like I just said, it's a Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. So that alone is impressive to me as, you know, on top of not being impressed by the route they've taken. But then you flip around, you see how Philly, you know, the route Philly took the Super Bowl. They played Daniel Jones and the Giants, which, I mean, to their credit, Daniel Jones and the Giants, yes, they beat the Vikings in the first round, yada, yada. But then they played the 49ers, and the 49ers had Brock Purdy in. Brock Purdy was a rookie. I mean, granted, he was great. But Hassan Reddick, like I said earlier, Hassan Reddick just burst right through Trent Williams and then just towards UCL on just a huge demolishing hit. And then they played Josh Johnson at QB for the Niners. And then they hurt Josh Johnson, too.
And they had Christian McCaffrey back there.
By delivering a giant hit on Josh Johnson. And then Christian McCaffrey went back and played emergency QB. I mean, things got really out of hand for San Fran.
Things got really tough. All season they've been struggling to have quarterbacks, and they've just at the end of their season they lost them all, and they had their running back in the
Trey Lance breaking his ankle in the the first game of the season.
And that's
Jimmy
tough.
Garoppolo breaking his ankle in the middle of the season. Trey Lance comes in, tears his UCL. Josh Johnson comes in during that game, gets a concussion. I mean,
just injuries all around for the San Francisco.
All around, it was crazy.
Quarterback room. It's
so nuts. I mean, to say either one of these teams just had an absolutely, you know, defying path to the Super Bowl would be a lie. I mean,
yeah,
both of these teams have had a nonchalant schedule to get there. But if I had to give a team more of an edge, I'd say it's Kansas City. I mean, they had to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati was healthy. That's no joke. Cincinnati beat them all three previous times that the Kansas City Chiefs and Cincinnati Bengals have played. I mean, to go in there, you've lost three straight to these guys, and they came into your house and beat you twice. It's just, I don't know. Oh, wait, no. They only beat them once, and that one win was last year's AFC Championship game in Kansas City's house. They came back from down 18.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do like the Chiefs, but I find it tough to think Philadelphia is not going to put up 35-plus, and I also find it tough to think that Kansas City is going to hold them to anything under that.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Philly's defense, but Philly's offense also has multiple plenty weapons on it. You have Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
Jalen Hurts was MVP candidate. I think he would have won it. Had he not gotten hurt
and missed a couple games,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mahomes downright had a fantastic season though. So yeah, I mean, it was going to be a toss up at the end of the year. Just Jalen Hurts' injury made it so much more clear that Mahomes was it. And outside of Jalen Hurts, I mean,
they have Miles Sanders, correct?
Miles Sanders, who's a tough back out of Penn State. They have Kenneth Gainwell, upcoming back. I mean, they got Boston Scott, who's
Devonta
just,
Smith still.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, they got him out of the draft. They traded up with the Giants to get him. He's fantastic as a sophomore. They got A.J. Brown, big body, huge, fast, great hands, everything. Their tight end, Dallas Goedert. I wanted him. I'm a Cowboys fan. I wanted him in that 17 draft. I wanted him so bad. But Philly snagged him two picks before Dallas did. And it just...
He's been fantastic. Man. I've heard a lot about him. He's
great.
He's solid.
He's fantastic. And then to get down to their offensive line, Philly, good Lord. Their offensive line is so good. I mean, left to right, you have fantastic players. I mean, let's start with the center, like we did with Kansas City. We'll start with Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce's brother. And this is the first time, by the way, that two brothers will be playing mm-hmm. Super Bowl.
And the first time that two African-American quarterbacks are probably starting in the Super Bowl
yes,
as well.
Yes, that also with Jalen Hurts and Mahomes. But, I mean, the Eagles' offensive line starting with Jason Kelce is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, him alone, he's one of the best centers that's ever played the game. And if you don't know, him and his brother Travis have a podcast, just like, you know, our podcast.
Yeah.
Just ours might be a little bit better, where they talk about their experiences and they talk about what the NFL world is like.
How it's scripted and everything?
No, yeah, totally. For sure. It just, they're so, I mean, Jason Kelce just describes stuff that's like otherworldly, you know, that he does. He does so much so well.
I mean, just, at the end of the day, his job is to line up against 300-pound men and hit them as hard as he can.
Oh, no,
I mean,
yeah.
He probably
and
sees.
You could say he's things. Undersized, too, because he's, I mean, he's a 6'2", like 6'2", 290, but. I mean, that is
quite small for
it's pretty small going against those big defensive tackles. But, I mean, let's go moving to his left. I mean, he's got Jordan Mailata. He came back from injury earlier this year against the Cowboys. He came back. Fantastic left tackle. I mean, absurd, otherworldly. Perfect on his feet, perfect with his hands, doesn't let anything through. I mean, their left guard, Landon Dickerson, he's young. They just got him out of the draft, I think, last year. And he's been absurd. I mean, he's such a good puller. He does everything well, pass block, pass pro. You got Lane Johnson, their right tackle. Lane Johnson has not given up a sack in, like, 3 years or something like that.
That's absolutely absurd. That's
it's
insane.
It's crazy. And their right tackle, he's got a bit of a Samoan name, Isaac Suamilo or Suamalo, and he's a Samoan, so... That,
big
I mean,
boy.
I'm just going to say that. That
should
he's
be
a
enough.
Samoan.
That
he's
should
huge.
Be enough.
He's tough. He's so good. And I find it hard to think that, you know, I find it hard to think that the Eagles aren't going to move the ball on them. I just do.
we're running, this is getting long, so I think we kind of want to end up this episode. Let's talk about the halftime show. Do we know what the halftime show is going to be this year?
Rihanna.
I think this will be a great halftime show. I mean, not as good as J-Lo and Shakira. I think nothing will beat that halftime show in the past, but this
cycle. What are your guys' opinions on, like, the recent halftime shows?
I think The Weeknd was a little bit of a letdown.
Really?
I think it
was a huge letdown.
I don't think it was as enjoyable, but I think it was either the previous year before The Weeknd or the year before that, whatever. It was J-Lo and Shakira, and that was definitely a very solid halftime performance. It was my favorite halftime performance ever. Yeah. And
last year's, I'm not a big, like, rap, you know, like hip-hop type guy, but I mean, for a lot of those people that I talked to,
it was a hip-hop all-stars, baby.
They loved it. It was crazy. And
I mean, it was a bunch of greats.
Personally, I don't really care, but it seems as if everyone liked it. So, I mean, I hope Rihanna doesn't go out there and disappoint.
Yeah.
I think she'll do fine. I think she's obviously a solid artist. She's won multiple awards. She'll do fine. She'll be great.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
I think she'll be durable. And I do believe there could be appearances that we don't know about. Guest surprise appearances. Totally. There is all the time.
Could be.
Constantly in the Super Bowl. So you never really know. Anything can happen. But.
And here's hoping. But I think that's kind of all we got to discuss this episode. Definitely discussed a lot. Talked about the players and everything. A lot of discussion. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And I want to thank Jax for coming on. Thank you, Jax.
I mean, thanks for having me back, man.
Yeah, we're all glad to have you back.
We had a lot of fun here. I think we got some good discussion, and I think you helped out a lot. So I appreciate
it. I definitely did. Appreciate you being here. And thanks to everyone for listening.